Hello, can I begin by asking you a question? How long would you be continuing to pray until you felt you had an answer? A week? A month? A year? This is your Bible study program, Search for Truth, with Christian broadcaster Brian Johnston. It's great to have you with us, and thanks for tuning in. In this series of studies, Brian's seeking encouragement and help in our Christian living by reviewing Old Testament stories. Going back to my question, asking how long you'd be prepared to pray, Brian will look this time to King Saul, see how his experiences might give us encouragement in our prayer times, even when we might feel our prayers aren't getting answered. Anyway, now here's Brian.
Thanks, John. The first ever king of God's Old Testament people Israel was a man called Saul. Saul began well, but he became a backslider away from God. He dies, tragically, as someone out of touch with God. He was so frustrated with the fact that God was no longer answering his prayers that he did something very wrong, something that God forbids in the Bible. What was it? He consulted the spirit world through a medium. You can read about this in the first book of Samuel, chapter 28. Saul never did get to the root of his unanswered prayers, but we, the readers, can solve his problem. What's more, we can find encouragement to solve our problem with unanswered prayer as we use Saul's poor example as a starting point. Remember, in this series of studies, we're finding help for today in the yesterdays of the Bible's recorded history. That is, we're learning from the mistakes and the successes of those who've lived before us. In any time of crisis, both Christians and non-Christians turn to prayer. But how do we know that God hears us? How do we handle it when it may seem to us that God has turned a deaf ear to us? As we begin to discuss that, first of all, let me ask you to imagine that you're walking down the street one day when a total stranger comes up to you and asks a significant favour from you, maybe asking for quite a bit of cash. At the very least, there's a sense of social awkwardness, isn't there? Why is that? It comes down to the disconnect between the request and the relationship. It could well be something that you'd entertain for a close friend, but for a total stranger? It's awkward, as we say, jarringly inappropriate, perhaps. It's that disconnect, the absence of relationship, that makes it like that. Keep that analogy in mind, please. But before going further with the issue of prayer, it's surely worth asking ourselves, what's the present state of my relationship with God? Are we close? When Jesus was asked by his disciples in Luke 11 and verse 1 about prayer, he taught them a guiding model that began by addressing God as Father. In other words, we're to come to God as his children, which immediately raises the question, how then do we become a child of God? John chapter 1 verse 12 explains how. It's by receiving Christ, by believing on his name. Now, as God's child, based on claiming that biblical promise, we'll find we want to read God's book, the Bible. We'll also find a desire to speak with God in prayer about what we find in his book, which isn't always so easy to understand, definitely not at first. It won't take long before we realise that God answering prayer is not like an indulgent earthly father writing blank checks. We'll even read in our Bible that there are times when we're not to pray. And we'll discover there were great characters in the Bible whose prayers were answered with a no. These would include Abraham regarding Ishmael, David regarding the survival of Bathsheba's first child, Elijah the prophet who asked to die but never did, and Paul the apostle who three times requested the removal of his thorn, which was seemingly some unspecified chronic complaint. But no improvement was noted, only an explanation given for its existence. In some cases, the answer to prayer was delayed, as if God had said, not yet. We've already mentioned Abraham. He's an example of this as well, having waited 25 years for the birth of his longed-for son. But we'll also find it recorded that there were times when God refused even to hear a person's prayer. And at times the writer of a psalm made the appeal to God, "Don't go deaf on me." Well, how can we do our best to avoid that unhappy outcome? It would seem that the Bible itemizes at least 18 conditions or qualifications that must be met before prayer can be answered. We must ask according to God's will. For example, 1 John 5 and verse 14. We must ask in faith. Mark 11 verse 22. We must ask after forgiving others. Matthew 6 and 14. We mustn't ask for the wrong reasons or with questionable motives. James 4, 3. We must ask on the basis of God's mercy and not on the basis of our own righteousness. Luke 18, 9-14. And we must ask through Jesus Christ. Various verses from John chapter 14 through 16. We must have right relationships so that our prayers are not hindered. For example, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. We must have no iniquity or sin in our heart. Psalm 66, 18. And this, of course, is where King Saul failed, if we think back to our opening comments and our brief mention of an Old Testament narrative that we are to learn from. Going on, we must pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6, 18, and pray with all perseverance, same verse. We must be remaining or abiding in Christ, that is, enjoying communion with the Lord, John 15 and verse 7. We must have God's word abiding in us. Same verse. We'll be heard for our godly fear. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. We must have no idols. That is, no things in our lives which we put in the place of God. Ezekiel 14 verses 1 to 6. We must be loving one another. 1 John 3, 22-23. We must honour God with our possessions and give in order for it to be given to us. For example, Malachi 3 and verse 10. We must ask in secret. Matthew 6 verses 5 and 6. We must pray for others unselfishly. Job 42. Of course, none of us, as Christians, are perfect, only forgiven. But we must sincerely do our best in regard to the above. These are not listed to intimidate us or to discourage us, but if we mean business with God, we'll bear them in mind. As we reflect on them, we can ask the Holy Spirit, who lives within each and every true believer and is our helper in regard to prayer, to impress on our human spirit any particular matter that requires our attention. Notice also in Romans 8 and verse 34, we find Jesus is at God's right hand to make intercession for us also. So we've got two great divine helpers. That makes sure that answered prayer is achievable. The Lord has led us to expect it. Nothing is impossible with his help. Before we sign off, I do think we need to emphasize regarding prayer that the conversation is more important than any particular expectation that we may have. Prayer is a conversation with the Almighty. Time spent talking to God builds that all-important relationship with him. Jesus said, and we've reminded ourselves of this already, "If you remain in me," or "if you abide in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." John 15 and verse 7. While we're stressing the wonder of how we're brought by faith into a relationship with God, this is a key verse, shared by our Lord as he prepared his disciples for his physical departure from this earth. What does it mean to remain in Christ? Or as the older versions say, to abide in Christ? Perhaps we have the impression it's some kind of mystical experience. Well, this verse links our abiding in Christ to nothing more than simple obedience. For what Christ went on to talk about immediately after commanding us to abide in him was about being faithful to his word, but also about cultivating the habit of prayer. And notice, it's answered prayer. It's prayer that's answered because the condition of abiding has been satisfied. We're back to what we spoke about earlier when we shared the illustration of the stranger and the close friend, in turn, approaching us in the street and asking a favour from us. We said we're more likely to give to our friend. When we say, how close are we to the Lord? This is really no different from asking, are we abiding in Christ? If we are, our prayers will be answered. All the other conditions are met if we're abiding in Christ. For then we'll not be cherishing any known sin, and we'll be asking for things we know to be His will for us, etc. Talking about God's will, don't be put off by the thought that God already knows what He's going to do. We might know what our spouse or parent is planning to do for us on a daily basis, but it's never wise to take it for granted, is it? It's respectful to discuss things. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge God, Proverbs 3 and 6. It's so rude not to acknowledge someone's presence, isn't it?
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we kinsfolk strangers to Him, wandering far from God and home? Do our warnings pass unheeded when we bid them to Him come? God's own Son has died to save them. All their souls His He doth care. Let us plead for kinsfolk with Him. Take them to the Lord in prayer.
I do hope you enjoyed today's study and found it helpful. Now, as usual, can I remind you there's a transcript book of all the talks in this series, and you can obtain a copy by downloading it at churchesofgod.info/media. Otherwise, if you write to us, you can ask for a hard copy book be posted to you. Just ask for the title, Present Help from Past Writings. And don't forget to include your postal address so we know where to send it. You can use email or the post, and here's our address. Search for Truth, Hayes Press, The Barn, Flaxlands, Royal Wootton Bassett, Swindon, SN48DY, UK. Our email address is sft@churchesofgod.info. Now, once again, many thanks for the pleasure of your company today and for giving us your time. I hope you can join me next week, when Brian will be applying lessons we can learn from King Jotham. You can find him in the Old Testament in the second book of Chronicles and the first 6 verses of chapter 27. That's 2 Chronicles 27, verses 1 to 6. But now it's goodbye and very best wishes from our Bible teacher Brian, our producer David, our singers, and me, John. So see you again soon. And in the meantime, mind how you go, and we wish you God's richest blessings.
Oh, we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care. Come, our Saviour is our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do in his arms he'll take and shield.